All right, let's open our Bibles to 1 Kings chapter 3, please. 1 Kings chapter 3. All right. We're going to jump into a verse of Scripture, into verse 3. And I'll read a few verses and then we'll come to the verse that I want us to come to. 1 Kings chapter 3, verse 3. And Solomon loved the Lord, walking in the statutes of his father David, except that he sacrificed and burned incense at the high places. Now the king went to Gibeon to sacrifice there, for that was the great high place. Solomon offered 1,000 burnt offerings on that altar. At Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night, and God said, "Ask, what shall I give you?" And Solomon said, "You have shown great mercy to your servant David, my father, because he walked before you in truth, in righteousness, and in uprightness of heart with you. You have continued this great kindness for him, and you have given him a son to sit on his throne as it is this day. Now, O Lord my God, you have made your servant king instead of my father David, but I am a little child. I do not know to go out or come in. And your servant is in the midst of your people, whom you have chosen, a great people, too numerous to be numbered or counted." Notice verse 9. "Therefore give to your servant an understanding heart to judge your people, that I may discern between good and evil, for who is able to judge this great people of yours?" And the speech pleased the Lord that Solomon had this thing. Notice verse 9. This is that point when God gives Solomon vast wisdom. And in verse 9 he says, "Therefore," this is what Solomon's answer is to the Lord. The Lord kind of gave him a blank check. Boy, who wouldn't want a blank check from the Lord, right? What if the Lord said, "Ask for one thing and I'll give it to you, just one thing"? Who would want perfect health? Who would want true love? Some of you already have true love. Who would want $1 million? Who would want wisdom from God? There you go. That trumps all the others. All right, and so this is Solomon's response. He says, "Therefore, give to your servant." Notice that word understanding has an italicized T. Can you all see the italicized T on your Bible? I know it has it on my Bible, and in the margin it has a little definition. And my Bible says literally it means hearing. Hearing. Give your servant not an understanding heart, but a hearing heart to judge your people. Whose Bible says the same thing? Yours, Mama Jens? Thank you. Yes, italicized letter. Yes, ma'am. Yeah. So it really means, in the literal Hebrew, means, "Give me, God, a hearing ear." You know, just because we have ears does not mean that we can hear spiritual communication. Amen? You know, the Bible says that Jesus prayed, you know, that these people that were stiff-necked and hard-hearted in Matthew chapter 13 and Luke chapter 8 and Mark chapter 4, he says, seeing they don't see and hearing they don't understand. They don't hear as God wants them to hear spiritually. Now, a couple weeks ago we talked about guidance and how God guides us through His voice, through His peace, through opening and closing doors. Remember that? We looked at the life of Paul, and Jesus told him, "You must go up to Jerusalem and suffer for me there. And beyond that, you must go to Rome and suffer many things there as well." And all these other people, all these believers were discouraging Paul the apostle. "Please don't go. Please don't go. I'm telling you by this prophet's saying don't go. This other prophet's telling you wherever you go, you're going to face a lot of hardship, Paul." And so people were having a hard time seeing Paul intent on going up to Jerusalem when the people feared that a lot of bad things were going to happen to him. And some knew they were never going to see Paul again. And so they cried and they held on to him. And the Bible says that Paul had to tear himself away from them. And we make the point that, you know, no matter what other messages you hear, ultimately we are responsible for our lives and for hearing God's will for our lives. Can I get a witness on that, please? Right? I mean, you might have Prophet so-and-so come and, you know, ring your bell and give you his business card. But ultimately, we have to go based on what we know the Lord told us in our hearts, right? And how many of I think we all can confidently say that God still speaks today. God does speak. He speaks through his word primarily, but he also speaks to our spirits. And it is important that we learn to hear the voice of the Lord. And we said a couple of things two weeks ago, that when the Lord speaks something to us, it will stay with us. It will stay with us. It's not a fleeting thought. It's not a maybe the Lord wanted me to do this. Or, you know, I once saw on a Christian broadcasting network program, this lady, this was many, I was still a young teenager at the time, so it'll tell you how old that was. Broadcast of this late Christian lady saying, I want to marry this guy. And so she put out a quote-unquote fleece before the Lord. And she had some wind chimes out on her patio ceiling. And she said, Lord, if the wind blows and winds and blows those wind chimes and they make sound, I'm going to trust that it's your will to marry him. Well, hello. Yeah. On a windy day, it's going to blow and those chimes are going to ring. I think she just wanted an excuse to marry the guy. Right? And as I said a couple weeks ago, if you put out a fleece, you're going to get fleeced. Understand that Gideon did not have the guidance available to him that we have available to us under the new covenant. Amen? Jesus said in John chapter 10, he said, My sheep hear my voice and they follow me, and the voice of a stranger they will not follow. We just sang about, you know, and he walks with me and he talks with me and he tells me that I am his own. How many of y'all believe that you hear the Lord on occasion speaking to you? I pray so. You know, some people in the world get all bent out of shape because we, God's people, say that we hear the voice of the Lord, and they say, wow, you're crazy, or you're a buffoon, or who do you think you are? You know, you're out to lunch and whatever. Well, I'm more afraid of people who say they don't hear the voice of God. That's who I'm afraid of. You know, but anyway, so we're going to look at a couple things about hearing, having a heart that hears the voice of the Lord. And, you know, we talked about peace. God leads us through his peace. God leads us through open and closed doors. Let me say something about that. I think sometimes we can use that as an excuse for us not to do what we know we should be doing. Because I remember back in the 80s when I was in college and I was a part of a street ministry, we would gather to pray and we would gather, you know, like Friday nights, and we would always talk about hitting the streets and handing out gospel tracts, but we never did it because our main leader said, well, the Lord's not opening the doors. And I'm thinking, well, let me see. Mark chapter 16 is pretty wide. It's a door wide open. It says, go out and preach the gospel to every creature. How much more of a wider door do you want than that? But she'd be like, no, we don't have open doors. I finally got fed up and I said, why don't we just go up to the door and kick the doors down? Come on, somebody. We can use that open door thing and closed door thing as a cop out not to do what the Lord's told us we should be doing. Can I get a witness? Right? So you know, we got to be careful with that. I think by the same token, the Lord sometimes gives us options. Just because the door is open doesn't mean we have to walk through it. Let's look at it again scripturally. Go with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 2, please. 2 Corinthians chapter 2. Verse 12 and 13. Who would like to read verses 12 and 13 of 2 Corinthians chapter 2, please?
I will.
Okay.
Furthermore, when I came to Troas to preach Christ's gospel, and a door was opened to me by the Lord, I had no rest in my spirit, because I did not find Titus my brother. But taking my leave of them, I departed from Macedonia.
There you go. So, did he walk through the door? No. He didn't find Titus, and he had no peace in his spirit. Now learn this, if you don't have a peace in your spirit, and there's an open door, I'm going to tell you, don't walk through it. Because God leads from the inside out, right? God leads from the inside out. Okay, so now let's talk about confirmations. Let's get to the new material. Confirmations. Who's ever had a confirmation of the Lord that what you were doing was spot on? Who's ever come up to you and said, you know, hey, whatever you said this morning, that really ministered to me, or that really made sense to me, and it was like a God giving you an attaboy, a pat on the back saying you're on the right track. It was a confirmation. I wish I had confirmations for everything that I did, but we are called to live by faith, right? We are called to walk by faith, not by confirmations. And so like this morning, for example, you know, we started that series on living for God's glory, and you know, just been ministering it. And this morning I decided to turn on TBN and watch a preacher that I had not watched in months, really. And I was listening to it, and guess what he was talking about? He was talking about living for God's glory. And to me, that was a confirmation. I was like, thank you, Lord. That meant something to me, that I'm on track, that I'm ministering as you had spoken to me to minister about. And so, you know, that was a nice little pat on the back. We all need confirmations. Confirmations are good. I believe confirmations are from the Lord. Now, let's speak of prophetic words. I think sometimes we don't give them the attention that we need to give a prophetic word. I believe in the gift of prophecy. I believe that the gift of prophecy is not primarily predicting the future. I believe it is. In fact, let's go with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 14, please. I'll tell you what the gift of prophecy is. No, verse 3. Almost. But he who prophesies speaks edification and exhortation and comfort to others. Write that down. The spirit of prophecy is threefold: edification, exhortation, and comfort. What is exhortation? An encouragement. So it is building people up. It is encouraging people, and it is comforting people. It is not warning of the impending wrath of God. Let me be clear about this. New Covenant, New Testament prophecy is different than Old Testament prophecy. Old Testament prophecy was about impending judgment. The Lord told the prophet Habakkuk, write the vision. What was the vision of? It was a vision of impending wrath, of God's wrath, about to fall on the nation of Israel. He said, write the vision and make it clear so that whoever reads it may run with that vision and align their lives accordingly. So it is not Old Testament prophecy. New Testament, you must not... confuse those two. We live in a new dispensation with a new gift of prophecy. Okay? Now, why do I say that? When I was, oh gosh, I wish I had a dollar for every false prophet I heard in circles. I was at ORU. We had chapel twice a week. And we were having chapel. And, you know, the worship, the music kind of came to a lull. And there was like this pregnant pause of silence, and people were just kind of worshiping under their breath. And normally, if there's a prophetic word to be uttered publicly, that's when the prophetic word is uttered publicly. And so somebody began speaking in the midst of the crowd. And what I mean by crowd, about 4,000 students at that time in the student body of Oral Roberts University, and begin to call curses down on Oral Roberts University and God's wrath, and God is displeased with Oral Roberts, and God is he went on and on, and then he finally shut it down. Well, they tried to find him, and they finally located him, and it was an outsider. It was not a student from the student body. It was some guy that had access to grind with Oral Roberts, And he was not man enough to either send him a letter personally. He wanted to disguise it with, "Thus saith the Lord." That's called cowardice in my book. Right, Brother Gene? That's a coward. That's not. When you talk about using the Lord's name in vain, when you use the Lord's name to hide behind, because you don't have the guts to tell somebody face to face. Yes, sir. Nathan confronted David one-on-one. Right. So, good point. So, my point in that is that it can be abused. Now, just because it can be abused does not mean that we should throw out the baby with the dirty diapers. Go with me, please, to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. So far, so good, everybody? Liking it so far? We're talking about ways that the Lord guides us. We talked about confirmation. Now we're talking about the spirit of prophecy. 1 Thessalonians 5, verses 20 through 21. Okay.
Do not treat prophecies with contempt. Test everything. Hold on to the good.
Okay. Notice what it says. Do not treat prophecies with contempt. My version says, do not despise prophecies. How do we treat prophecies with contempt? By looking down at them, saying, oh, it's passed away with the early church. God doesn't speak that way anymore. How many of y'all believe that God still speaks through the prophetic word? Amen? And it is vital. The way God speaks through this is a very powerful, powerful, powerful way. And notice what the next verse says. It says, test all things, hold fast to that which is good. So when somebody is giving you a prophecy, we're supposed to test it, aren't we? We're supposed to test that word of prophecy. And it's got to fit number of fourfold criteria. Number one, does it agree with the counsel, the full counsel of God? Because if it's not scriptural, it's not of the Lord. Number two, does it lift people up? Because that's what edification means. Does it lift people up? Does it encourage people? Does it comfort people? If it fits all those four criteria, then it is of the Lord. You test it. All right? And then once you test it, you hold on to the good part of that prophecy. Plainly put. Now, why do I say that? Because I have benefited many, many times in my walk with the Lord from the prophetic word. I think I'll share the last one that I received. To me, I don't look primarily to prophecies to guide my life. I look first of all, and I think we all should look first of all to the Word of God. Amen? This is a more sure word of prophecy. 2 Peter said, the Word of God is a more sure word of prophecy. So this is our more sure word, the Word. But then, sometimes the Lord will speak prophetically through someone to us to encourage us, to give us hope. You know, when I got my divorce, it's stunning how people who one day tell you they love you and appreciate you, and the next day, you're not a friend anymore. And you have fought battles with them. You have prayed with them. You have visited in the hospital. You have visited people in nursing homes. You have been with them in their homes, praying with them and encouraging them. And you've been teaching them the Word of God. And then something like this happens, and all of a sudden they turn their backs on you? Anyway, I better not pursue that because I'll tap some emotion. But, you know, there came a point in my walk with the Lord that I thought, well, I guess fine, if that's the way they're going to treat me, I'm done with ministry. I said, I don't need ministry. I have other skill sets that can help me make a living outside of ministry. And I was bitter, to be honest with you. I was bitter by the way I was treated by people whom I thought were my friends. And the way my ex treated me, you know, led me on to believe that we were gonna work it out, and nothing. She dropped the hammer, and that's fine. And then I struggled with that thought. You know, I told the Lord, I threw away. This is one thing I do regret. I threw away all my library of solid books, and years of notes that I had taken on messages and research and this and that, and years. Dumped them all, threw them all away, and And the Lord was kind of giving me a confirmation that he was not done with me. And because how many of y'all know the guilt you feel from the falling apart of a marriage, you're like, man, I'm a failure. And I thought there for a while that the Lord didn't want to do anything with me in ministry. And I'll never forget my daughter had my oldest daughter, Sophia, she had brought me up in a prayer group for prayer, you know, because I was struggling after the whole divorce thing. I was really struggling. And she said, would you pray for my dad? He's struggling. He asked me to, if I would keep him in prayer. And there was one gal that was with my daughter. She has a prophetic gift, obviously. And these were her words that she uttered to my daughter. She said, even King David finished his reign. My daughter took those words to heart. She relayed them to me. And when she relayed them to me, I was in tears. Because that was the Lord speaking to me through the voice of another person. What was the Lord telling me? Hey, your reign, you're going to finish your reign. You're going to finish your ministry. I'm not done with you. Even King David, after Bathsheba, finished his reign. And even to this day, just quoting it, gives me excessive amounts of hope. And boy, a real go-getter mentality. See the power of prophecy? It can take you from out of the dumps into back on track where the Lord wants you. It is a very, very powerful thing, and that we should not despise. We should not cast aside. The Lord uses the prophetic word quite well. I remember one time, do you like these stories when I flesh them out? I mean, I'm just talking the way the Lord's ministered to me. I've used the prophetic word, you know, where at times, and like in my previous pastorate, for example, we would have altar calls. And people would come forward, and I would go around the line and praying for people. And I remember I was telling Cynthia this past weekend, and I went up to this mother-daughter, two ladies, one a mother to her left, daughter to her right, daughter quite attractive. And she's tearing up, and tears are running down her cheeks, and I just laid my hand on her shoulder very gently, and I began to pray. And the Lord began to prophesy through my lips. And I began to tell her what her problem was. And as soon as I told her, I said, you got man problems, don't you, ma'am? And she, and the mom is standing there going, wow. And I began to speak the word of the Lord. And this, I mean, all of a sudden, you just see the Spirit of the Lord come on somebody and begin to minister to them. I'm telling you, you've had it happen, right, Brother John Bob? This stuff is powerful, isn't it? It's powerful stuff. And that happened, and, you know, what am I saying, church family? Be open for the Lord to speak to you that way, but also be open for you to speak to someone that way. I've seen the Lord read people's mail. I've seen the Lord minister to people, bring them to tears, bring them to encouragement, change their lives. I want to encourage us, you know, to be more aware of the prophetic word. Maybe I need to do a little more teaching on the prophetic word. It is very, very powerful. Go with me to Timothy. This is one of those verses I know I have the zip code on, but I don't have the street number on. You understand that, right? But at least you know where I'm standing on it. Let me see. Yes. 1 Timothy, what chapter? Chapter 1. Basically, Paul is in 18. This charge I commit to you, son Timothy, according to the prophecies previously made concerning you, that by them you may wage the good warfare, having faith and a good conscience, which some, having rejected concerning faith, have suffered shipwreck. Now, what is he saying? Prophecies have been given to Timothy. And Paul's saying, don't forget those prophecies, man. Use those words of encouragement to launch you forward in this spiritual warfare that you're waging as you preach the gospel. Vitally, vitally, vitally important, the prophetic word, okay? So stir those up. That's the prophetic word. Are any questions, any comments on this? All righty. I want to look at one, Revelation chapter 1. I might need your help. Once again, I know the zip code. I don't know the street number. Revelation 19:10. Okay, so who would like to read verse 10, please?
At this I fell at his feet to worship him, but he said to me, "Do not do it. I am a fellow servant with you and with your brothers who hold to the testimony of Jesus. Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is a spirit of prophecy."
There you go. The testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. So when we're ministering a word of prophecy, or when a word of prophecy is ministered to us, somebody is ministering to us the testimony of Jesus. What is the testimony of Jesus? His will for us, his assurance of us, his comfort, his encouragement, his edification. All right? All right, guys, that's all I have tonight. Good stuff?
Good stuff.
All right, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you, Lord God, for the many scriptures that you give us, the many blessings that you give us through your word. Father, help us to be receptive, to have that hearing heart that Solomon spoke about, Lord, about having. Help us to hear and listen and to be attuned to your Holy Spirit. Thank you for the way you lead us, you guide us. In Jesus' name, amen.